This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. On yesterday's program, we had a discussion about the mass shooting in Buffalo and the hatred that motivated it. Sadly, that same day, as we were going to air, another mass shooting was occurring, this time in Uvalde, Texas, at an elementary school. It seems the country barely has time to process its grief and anger before more people are killed. Yesterday, it was 19 school children and two teachers. There have been 212 mass shootings just this year in the United States, according to the Gun Violence Archive. How do we talk about events like this? And how do we talk to our children about events like this? How do we, as parents, caregivers, community members, cope with the many feelings these tragedies bring up? We're joined now by Michelle Cutler, an associate professor of clinical psychology at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. She's a licensed clinical psychologist with more than 20 years of experience working with children and families, and also teaches courses in working with clients who experienced trauma, particularly children. Michelle Cutler, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being here.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Listeners, again, you can join our conversation. We want to hear how you're feeling about what happened in Texas yesterday, what happened last week in Buffalo. 800-222-9455 is the number to call. That's 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show. So I'm going to begin just by asking, what was your reaction to the news of the shooting yesterday? How'd you learn about it?
Oh, gosh, what a great question. I think like so many of us, I was going about my day, and then in just the casual, normal checking of social media, or I don't get news alerts, but I'm checking often, just saw that the news had happened about a school shooting, but didn't really have the time to look more into it or to hear more about the details and to really understand exactly what had happened until I got home. And then when I had the time to sit down, I found myself really unable to stop learning about it and reading about it and connecting to it, and kind of got sucked in a little bit there, and had to really work to just pay attention to my own emotional responses as I was doing that, so that I could start to think about how I was going to help my kids understand what was going on, and then be able to go on through the rest of my night and the day tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, what is behind that? I mean, I think it's probably different for different people which ones of these tragedies we get more sucked into. Is the relatability, if we have children in this case, you know, versus what happened in Buffalo, or maybe if you, you know, have relatives who match the profiles of some of the victims or something like that. We find ourselves, what's the phrase for this? Doom scrolling, right?
You know, I think it's different for each person. And there is a desire to try to understand, sure, sometimes to get answers, but at the heart of it, I think it's really about a human connection. Different things are going to connect to different people for different reasons. This was certainly easy for me to relate to, but it doesn't mean that the other ones weren't, right? We can all relate to grief and pain and loss and suffering. And this has been an unbelievable week in terms of what we have been asked to hold, the exposure of three mass shootings in one week and many others that haven't made the national news. We're still living with COVID and under the inordinate amount of stress and grief and loss that's still brought. And then these recent mass shootings are likely to bring up traumas from the past and grief and loss from the past. So we are really being asked to absorb and process so much violence and loss and grief right now that we're not designed to be able to absorb all of this. And so it's crucial that as we're taking it in, we're paying attention to the effect it has on us. We're listening to our bodies. We're trying to understand the feelings so that we can give ourselves what we need, take care of ourselves, especially for parents, so that then we can be there to take care of our kids who are going through the same exposure and feelings in their own way.
Well, I think that raises a great point. So a lot of parents today are probably feeling anxiety or grief as they are dropping their children off at the bus stop or at school. What is your advice to them right now?
Well, so first I'm going to start with taking care of ourselves as parents, right? And you're so right that even just the regular daily activity of dropping our kids off at school now, once again, takes on an extra meaning because we know what could happen. And much of what I'm going to suggest for us to take care of ourselves is also going to be helpful for us to take care of our children, right? So the first thing is to just acknowledge what you are experiencing. Part of the challenge these days is, as I was mentioning, the extreme amount of emotional content we're being asked to deal with. And then we're being asked to go to work, right? We're being asked to come home and take care of the things that that our kids need or that our house needs. And we're not really given adequate time to stop and acknowledge what's going on and process. And of course, it can be helpful to have things to distract ourselves, but in the short term, it helps us to function. But we really need to allow ourselves time to then come back. And maybe that's part of what I was doing last night when I was allowing myself to connect with the pain for that these families are experiencing. We do need to let ourselves come back and acknowledge what we're feeling, and then do what we need to do to move through those feelings, because those emotions are there for a reason, right? Emotions are adaptive. They tell us what we need and we need to listen to them. So it might be just giving ourselves time and space to think. You know, everyone's going to be different in terms of what they need. You might need time by yourself to process everything. You might need the opposite. You might need to reach out to connect to other people and see how they're feeling and empathize with them, but also feel their support. Some people find it helpful to reach out to people that they in particular think might need even more support now. So I was thinking of some friends that I knew that had personal experiences with grief and loss and trauma like this. And it actually helped me to just send them a quick text and let them know I was thinking about them a little bit more. Some people might find that helpful. Other people might find it helpful to take action, right? Anger is there because it's telling us to do something, and it might be helpful to right away do something to reach out to contact our Congress people. Or I found it really helpful to watch videos of people who were angry and speaking out against it. I found it really inspiring and even aspirational, if the, knowing that the change wasn't happening, but there were people out there fighting for change and they believe it can happen. So everybody's got to do what is going to help them do both things: acknowledge and hold the anger, the disgust, the fear, everything that goes along with that, those feelings in our body, and then eventually be able to also hold the hope and the belief in change, even if it's aspirational. And we have to be able to do that so then we can help our kids be able to do that in a developmentally appropriate way.
Let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Michelle Cutler on the faculty at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology and a licensed clinical psychologist with more than 20 years experience, especially working with children and families. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. Let's talk about children. What I know there's no one cutoff, but what are some things to think about as parents are deciding whether to even talk about this with their kids? And certainly, I mean, I've got a third grader and a kindergartner myself. I decided not to talk about it, but I know mm-hmm. it was affecting my interactions with them last night. How do you approach that? How do you think about that?
Yeah. And first, I want to highlight what you said, that you already know it was affecting your interactions with them. So I'll talk about that first, and then we can talk about how to support your children. But I would say that's okay, right? And you're human, and it can be helpful for your kids to see that you're human. And oftentimes they are going to pick up on the feelings that we're experiencing, even if we're not talking about it with them directly. So it's okay for you to acknowledge with your kids, you know, I know I look a little bit sad right now. There's just some things on my mind, and we'll come back and talk about how you would specifically say that with each child. But I'm okay, right? And it's normal to feel sad, and I'm doing what I need to do to take care of myself. And you can give an example of that. And I love you, and I'm here with you now, and that's what matters, right? So that's the first thing, okay? You don't have to be a robot. You don't have to be perfect and perfectly managing your emotions so that your kids it's so that things are absolutely normal for them. In fact, it can be helpful and healthy for them to see that you're affected by things that are hard and that you're taking care of yourself. And then you asked about how we support our children. A lot of that is really going to depend on their age. So for younger kids in general, it's recommended for kids six and younger that we don't bring it up to them and that we limit their exposure to news about it, images. We do the best we can to shield them from it. And of course, being prepared in case they do hear about it, because it's very possible that they will, I'm sorry. And then as kids get older, we can assume, particularly for our adolescents, that they will have heard about it, maybe even before we did. So for kids in the middle age, it is okay to ask them if they've heard anything about it. We really want to meet kids where they're at. The most important thing is going to be that we're making sure that we're telling kids the truth. And again, going back to what we need to do to ground ourselves first to be able to tell them that without becoming overwhelmed. Again, remember, it doesn't have to be perfect. We can become emotional. We just need to be able to explain what's going on to them with us and what we're doing to take care of ourselves. We can encourage our kids to ask questions that they have about what's going on, particularly older children. You know, we want to ask them what they've heard and make sure that the information that they're seeing about what happened is, first of all, correct, and that we're also talking with them about how they've been affected and what they're seeing and what they can be doing to take care of themselves. Younger kids, we might see their anxiety or the ways that they're affected coming out in their behaviors, and that might be a cue for us to check in with them to see if they've heard about something that made them feel scared, especially if it's a child on the younger side. And we also need to model these positive responses for them, right? To, again, let them know it's okay to be feeling this way. Keeping an eye out for any changes in behaviors or in emotions. Kids, oftentimes, that's how their anxiety comes out. They might not have the words to say, but we might see changes in their sleep. We might see changes in some somatic symptoms. Lots of times kids will talk about having a tummy ache or a headache. And it's not that they're not feeling those things. They are feeling those things, but those things are really an expression of what's going on inside, which is very often anxiety after events like something like this. And they need us to put the words to what they're feeling for them. Letting them know that this is a very scary thing that happened. And here's sometimes where professional help can be helpful, right? If this isn't reassuring them enough, if we're still seeing some of these symptoms, letting them know that this is an incredibly scary thing that happened. And while it is terrifying, of course, and you wanna use that word sparingly, I would use that with older kids, it's actually pretty unlikely and extremely unlikely that something like this would happen to them. Millions of kids wake up every day and go to school and come home and are okay. In fact, that's the norm, right? That's why we don't hear about it. And that's why it doesn't make the news, because that's what usually happens. And something like this is, while horrific and extremely frightening, also extremely rare. And that's why we're hearing about it so much. Those are the types of things that we can say to our children to reassure them, to let them know that it's the adults' jobs to keep them safe. That's what their teachers and their staff are doing for them at school. And we as their parents would not put them in a position where we didn't feel that they were safe. And at the same time, we know that it's scary for them. And this is where you want to keep an eye out and see, again, if that anxiety does not abate. Once they get that reassurance from us, then it might be time to seek professional help so they can learn more ways to cope with the anxiety that they're feeling. And you as a parent can also get some more help with techniques to help your children feel safe and decrease that anxiety and even put words to it.
Well, this has been a great conversation. I feel like I've really learned a lot today and gotten some practical advice. We only have a couple of minutes remaining. I want to mention something. You mentioned you don't get news alerts. And I think there's a way we can get overwhelmed and inundated with news of mass shootings. Can you just talk a little bit about managing the flow of news and information in our lives?
Absolutely. And I think that the most important thing with that is to just be intentional about it, right? So if we're not, then before we know it, we can have these things coming at us at any time. So for me, I don't get alerts because I like to be in control of when I can check to find out if something is happening. I don't like the news alerts intruding on my day, or my space or my time or my work or my time with my kids, because it is too easy to then get sucked in, right? And understandably so, because these are important things. So, and again, going back to modeling for our children, this is also something we can help them decide about how they want to handle the their exposure and how these things intrude in their lives, and paying attention to the effect that it has in them on them, because it can be coming at us, as we all know, all day, every day. And that is going to have a cumulative effect on our nervous system, on our ability to concentrate, on our ability to regulate our emotions. Even if we don't notice it in the moment, it is cumulative. And we need to find ways then to counteract that arousal, right? The effects it has on us to be able to regulate ourselves, to calm our nervous systems down. And it's not always, we don't always have the time and space to do that if things are coming at us all the time and intruding on our days.
Yeah. One of the best pieces of advice I think I've ever gotten about this was alerts on your phone from human beings, not from institutions or companies or anything.
I love that. Yeah, I love that.
Michelle Cutler is on the faculty at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Thank you so much for being with us and helping us think through this latest school tragedy. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
You're listening to The 21st Show. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.